Once again tonight, we're looking at the Catholic Church and what they teach. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering in your house again tonight. We thank you for the privilege of having your word, your perfect, preserved word, and we thank you for that. I pray the Holy Spirit now would lead, guide, and teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 10:43, to him, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, we've looked at this much lately, but I want you to get down. Any church, any religion, anyone that tries to come up with a plan of salvation that has something new that we haven't seen throughout the Word of God, that's a false plan of salvation. And the Catholic Church adds many things to the plan of salvation that you don't see in the Old Testament. So that just to kind of preface our remarks tonight. Okay, I want to remind you that the Catholic Church teaches a sacramental gospel. Sometimes people say, in fact, some lady wrote in, I don't know, a few weeks ago maybe, and she said, should we study other religions? Should we be studying what they believe? Well, maybe we should kind of focus in on that. What about Hinduism or shamanism, witch doctors? We were told just recently that someone went to a kind of a holistic type. I don't know if it was a chiropractor or what, but anyway, but there is a person who works with this holistic doctor of sorts that is an intuitive. And this lady is blind, and she supposedly just ran her hands down this woman who was having these ailments and just supposedly then said exactly what was wrong with her that medical doctors had said. I said, beware, beware. You're talking someone that's into spiritism, demonism. I said, that's no different than what we just looked at recently, shamanism. Shamanism is witch doctors. That is not a realm of light, but the realm of darkness. And no one can tell by feeling you what is wrong on the inside unless someone in the spirit realm is relating that information. And I would not go to anyone like that, ever. That's like King Saul going to the witch at Endor because God wouldn't answer him. So beware. But the Catholic Church teaches a sacramental gospel. Sacramental are things applied externally. And this is why you have to be so careful about these other religions. And I guess what got me off on that was this lady who was asking, should we study other religions? Well, what we've been studying are religions that claim to believe in Jesus in a way. We've studied the Muslims. They claim to accept Jesus as a prophet, but not as God. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim to accept Jesus as the Savior, but not as God Almighty. The Catholics claim to believe in Jesus and the Trinity, but they have a false gospel. And for this lady writing and asking that question, are you going to believe anyone that comes along and says, I believe in Jesus? Well, then you'll say the Mormons are going to heaven. You'll say the Catholics are going to heaven. You'll say the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to heaven. You have to know what they mean and what the Bible says. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You know what that Jehovah's Witness told me today, Jenny's husband? He said, you're the first person that's ever had a Bible at the door. I think he said the first person who's ever come to the door with a Bible. Well, I didn't go to the door with a Bible because I just couldn't hardly believe this was another Jehovah's Witness, you know. I thought they would have me on their blacklist or something, say, stay away from that house, you know. So I just couldn't believe it was another Jehovah's Witness. So I didn't have my Bible, so I had to have Lucas get my Bible. I says, you know, grab my Bible. And but here's a Jehovah's Witness. And he asked me, he says, Do you actually talk about the Bible and study the Bible in your services? Well, he'd seen this TV preacher, and he didn't know. He didn't know. I said, yes, we do. But I think this man, there might be some reaching him. But look in Matthew 7 in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, what? Lord, Lord, have we not, what? Prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have what? Cast out devils, and in thy name done what? Many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 22 spells out the exact three things the charismatic movement emphasizes. Prophesying in Jesus' name, which they would always say is tongues. Casting out devils. They make a devil out of everything. Greed, gluttony. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. Miracles. So they emphasize these three things. But the Bible says in verse 23, Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. He's not going to say, I once knew you, but you know, you were saved and now you're lost. No, he says, I never knew you. So, you know, for this lady writing in this question, I mean, these Jehovah's Witnesses go to doors and people, I mean, born again, blood-washed people don't know how to talk to them. You know, all they know how to say is, I don't believe what you believe, now get out of here, basically. And I encourage these two, I'm concerned about your souls. If you ever want to sit down and talk, I will do it. Because he was trying to, well, in fact, he said, you know, about Isaiah 43, verses 10 and 11, he says, I could see where you could get, you know, what you believe out of that. And but he was saying something about, well, what about the other verses? So I began to take him to other verses and show him it's the same thing. It's the same thing. In John 14, Jesus told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews 1:8, the Father is talking to the Son and calls him God. I took him to Isaiah 9:6. I said, this is prophesying about the coming of the Savior. And he said, yes, he agreed. What calls him in Isaiah 9:6? The mighty God, the everlasting Father. So we need to, I mean, if we care about their souls, we need to get them the Scripture. And so we've got to know what these other groups believe. If we don't, how are we ever going to reach them? And we're going to, otherwise we would say like, oh, maybe you'll have to help me. It's the pastor of the largest church in the United States in Houston, Osteen. Joel? Joel, okay. Joel Osteen. The Huckabee, more affectionately known as Huckabee, was getting at Mitt Romney, you know, at that one point. And so the news media asked Joel Osteen, you know, what about it? And Joel Osteen simply, Mitt Romney is a Mormon. And Joel Osteen simply said, well, he says he believes in Jesus, so, you know, I guess he's okay, you know. So we've got to know what we believe, and we've got to know what the Catholics teach. If we're going to reach them, we've got to know what they believe. Tonight, we're down to point five. We've looked at, although let me just run through real quick. Number one, we looked at the Catholic Church does not believe that the Bible is the final authority. They believe that oral tradition, which the priests, the Pope speak, is the highest authority. Number two, the Catholic Church does not believe that it is the blood of Jesus Christ alone that saves a person from sin. Number three, the Catholic Church believes that baptism washes away a person's sins. Number four, the Catholic Church teaches that a person must confess his sins to a priest to receive forgiveness for those after baptism sins. Number five, the Catholic Church teaches that receiving Mass or Eucharist or Lord's Supper, whatever name you give to it, they believe that receiving that is to receive Christ himself. Let me give you their official catechism. It's 1336. Catechism 1336. I quote, "To receive in faith the gift of his Eucharist is to receive the Lord himself." Let me read that again. "To receive in faith the gift of his Eucharist is to receive the Lord himself." The term Eucharist means grace or grateful is what it means. But they give that term to the elements of the Lord's Supper. This is why it's so important. One of our missionaries, when he passed through, once said that he had the opportunity to preach or stand up and testify in a Catholic funeral. And he was encouraged by the response. Well, if you're going to get up in front of a group of Catholics, you're going to have more than a few minutes to be encouraged. I mean, in truth. Because they take all these terms and they give them their own meaning. It would take several hours to redefine all the terms. Because they believe in receiving Jesus. What do you mean? They believe in being baptized. They believe in partaking of the Lord's Supper. But what do you mean by it? What are the terms? In the 1950s, Billy Graham made the choice in California in a crusade to work with the Catholic Church, and he never turned back from that. And because of it, he has preached to millions, multiple millions. In fact, some say he's probably preached to more people than any other person in history. It might be, via television especially. But the fact of the matter is did it truly, truly result in more conversions or in more confusion? Billy Graham really is the father of ecumenical confusion in our day. There's more people confused. Catholics believe that you must receive Jesus to be saved. But ask them what they mean. Their official catechism, 1336, to receive Jesus is to partake of the bread and the wine. That's to eat his body and drink his blood. Transubstantiation. They believe when the priest blesses it, and I have the official catechisms here to show, they believe that it actually turns into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and they believe they are receiving him by partaking of that. So, let's look in John chapter 1. If you talk to a Catholic, as Billy Graham stands up and says, you must be born again. And so the Catholic says, I believe that. And I believe I was born again when I was baptized. And they come forward, and you come forward in a Billy Graham crusade, and you say, I'm a Catholic, and they'll ask. They are going to put you with a Catholic worker. You come forward and say, I'm a Lutheran, they are going to put you with a Lutheran worker. Whatever you are, they're going to put you with that worker and send you right back to the same church. John 1:12, let's start in verse 11. John 1:11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as what? Received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you ask a Catholic, okay, do you believe that? And he'll say, yes. But ask him further. Question further. Their official catechism, 1336, to receive in faith the Eucharist is to receive the Lord himself. You may say, well, I can show a Catholic that he's wrong right from his own Bible. Yes, but the problem is that Catholic believes the notes or the priest more than what's in this book. It's the same as all these other groups. The Muslim says they believe this book. The Jehovah's Witness, I said to the Jehovah's Witnesses today, I said, this is the King James Bible because he asked me something about the Bible, and I said, I have a King James Bible. And so we talked about Hebrew and Greek and the King James Bible. And I says, your group started using the King James Bible. They didn't have their own perversion translation until 1960, is when the Jehovah's Witness come up with their own translation. And the Catholic will say, I believe the Bible. But they have a higher authority than the Bible. They don't really believe the Bible. So, let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. In every interpretation we make, we've got to consider all of Scripture. Compare Scripture with Scripture. As he was saying to me, well, I can see how you could come up that Jehovah is Jesus from Acts 10:43, from Isaiah 43:10 and 11. But you know what? The rest of Scripture backs that up. It backs it up. But in Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his what? Through his name, not through Eucharist, not through eating his flesh or drinking his blood or being baptized, but through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which what? Heard the word. The Holy Ghost didn't fall on all them which partook of the bread and wine. The Holy Ghost didn't fall on all them which were baptized, but those which heard the word. Salvation is something, it's a decision of the heart. It's not something that someone can confer upon you externally, because then you would be subject to man and what he wanted to do. So anything that people say brings salvation that is new or different from what's always been in the Bible is false. It's a false plan of salvation. Anyone that says baptism washes away your sins, that's false. You don't even see baptism taking place in the Old Testament. Acts 10:43 says the prophets always gave witness to Jesus, and that's how they were saved. So baptism can't be a part of salvation. It's a later picture of it. It's not a part of salvation. In the Old Testament, we don't see people coming to those priests to confess their sins. They brought their sacrifices to God. We read about David's prayers to God in Psalm 51. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. He was confessing his sin to God, not to man. We don't see the Lord's Supper in the Old Testament. That's something new to the New Testament. The Lord's Supper is not a part of salvation. If you have to say to receive the Lord, you've got to partake of the Lord's Supper or Mass or the Eucharist. That's something new. You don't see that in the Old Testament. So that's a false plan of salvation. We partake of it to show forth what the Lord did on the cross, that he shed his blood for us, his body he gave for us. Some people may say, well, yes, but there was the Passover in the Old Testament, but not always in the Old Testament. Adam didn't partake of the Passover. The Passover didn't come until the children of Israel left Egypt. So Adam would have never had the Passover. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, none of those ever partook of any type of Passover or remembrance meal like that. That can't be a part of salvation. You can't have to do that to be saved. Notice in Hebrews 11, mentions all those men as men of faith. All these men as saved men, they never partook of the Lord's Supper. And yet the Catholics say to receive the wafer and the wine is that's how you receive the Lord. That can't be. That's got to be a false salvation. You don't see that in the Scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good what? Report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith who? Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith who? Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to what? Please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith who? Noah. So it goes on and on. None of these men partook of a Passover or a Lord's Supper, any type of a meal, and yet they're saved men. Anything that a religion adds to faith is false. Anything that a religion adds to faith is false. Because Acts 10:43, it's always been by faith in the Messiah, the coming Messiah, the present Messiah, the Messiah who did come. Acts 10:43. So, once again, their official catechism, to receive in faith the gift of his Eucharist is to receive the Lord himself. That is a false plan of salvation. They go often to John chapter 6. Let's go there to try to prove that you get saved, that you receive the Lord by partaking of the bread and the wine. Well, let's see what Acts chapter 6 shows us. You know, Jesus was the greatest missionary who ever lived. He came the farthest. We don't even know how many miles it is to heaven. They would measure it in light years. That's a long ways. He came a long ways to bring us salvation. And we start out seeing a great crowd around him, and we end up this chapter by, he's asking the 12 if they'll leave. Most churches would have dropped Jesus as their missionary. They would quit supporting him. And yet, there's been no greater person to walk the earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his what? His miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to what? To prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. My friends, whatever problem we find ourselves in, remember this. Verse 6. Jesus already knows what he's going to do. We don't have to worry. He just said this to prove Philip. He knew what he was going to do. And sometimes we get so upset, so anxious. Why? He already knows what he's going to do. And he did a marvelous miracle here. Verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about how many? 5,000. So keep that number in your mind, 5,000. 5,000 to 12 is what it ends up. But verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled, what? 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You couldn't fill that many baskets. You probably couldn't have filled one basket with the original amount of food, but they filled 12 with the fragments left over. So, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So, it wasn't time yet. Jump down to verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did what? Eat of the loaves and were filled. Listen, when they were hungry and had a need, Jesus fed them. But Jesus would not allow them to follow him just for the food or things they were getting. That is the error of our day. It's one thing when people have a need to meet that need. It's quite another to try to lure them to church by cars, as this Jehovah's Witness. When we were in school, there was a Baptist preacher from out in California that came frequently to speak at school. And he did that. He gave away cars, contests. I think they gave away a Honda car once, their church. Jesus, I don't know how those guys do that. That Jesus would not allow these people to follow him to get things. And it's wrong. The preachers have talked to me and told me about their high days, I mean high attendance days, and many times it was some big giveaway. That is not what Jesus did. Not what Jesus did at all. So, as we read on here, he stops in verse 26, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Notice here, this is important. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye what? Believe on him whom he hath sent." But you know what? Now this is important to remember that verse 29, especially toward the end of the chapter. They were coming and saying, "What can we do that we might work the works of God?" And he says, "This is the work of God. Believe. Believe on him whom he has sent." But notice that they didn't accept what he said. That wasn't enough, because they go on and say in verse 30, "They said therefore unto him, what's the next word? Sign. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Okay, stop and think. Why were they following him? Verse 26, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Do you remember the amount here in verse 9? "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes fed 5,000, 12 baskets full left over. And he's saying, "Believe on me." And they're saying, "Now, what sign are you going to show? What sign are you going to show? What has he just done? He's done a fabulous miracle." That's not enough for them. Verse 30, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee?" Hold your place here, would you? Turn to Matthew chapter 12. You know, we're living in a day just like that. It's not enough to hear the Bible. People want to see a sign. Matthew 12, 39. Let's look at verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a what? A sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, And what? Evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a what? Sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of" who? "The prophet Jonas. Whereas Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall" who? "The Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what he's talking about is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which was a type of Jonah. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. And so Jesus said, "I'm not going to give you a sign. The sign is the gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for your sins, nothing else is going to matter. It's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks a sign." And yet that's what we have today. We have sign seekers. We have an evil and adulterous generation. Well, back in John 6, well, they had their signs and they still didn't believe, and that's always the way it will go. So verse 30, "What sign showest thou?" Verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. This here is so similar to the woman at the well. Only there it was water, remember? Hold your place here and turn back to chapter 4. Chapter 4. It's so similar. And they were both making the same mistakes. These people in John 6 wanted physical bread. The woman at the well wanted physical water. In John chapter 4, verse 10. John 4, 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She was looking at it as physical water. He was talking about something spiritual. Verse 12, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. The woman, this is physical water. You can drink of this, and you're just going to get thirsty again. But verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall what? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, what? Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. That's exactly what you see happening in John chapter 6. And verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. They're looking at something physical. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus is telling them, verse 32, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It's the same scenario as the woman at the well. The same thing. He's using something physical to illustrate the spiritual, and none of them understand. The woman at the well didn't understand at first. She just wanted this physical water so she didn't have to drink. These people just want someone to feed them all the time. You know, they want spiritual welfare. I mean, they just want somebody to feed them. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the what? The bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never what? Thirst. If you compare John 6 to John 4, you'll see it's the same thing. Jesus is using physical needs to illustrate spiritual needs. And at first, none of them understand. It's the same thing in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. And turn there just a moment with me. He sees Jesus doing all the miracles, and he's got some questions. John 3, 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these what? Miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice how Nicodemus takes it. Just like the woman at the well, just like the multitude in John 6. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is what? Old. He's looking at this physically. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's saying, Jesus, I'm an older man. How can I get back in my mother's womb and be born again? He was looking at it physically. Jesus said, verse 5, He answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the what? Flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the what? Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So John 3, Jesus is using a physical illustration about being born to illustrate you must be born again. But spiritually, John 4, Jesus uses thirst to the woman as a physical illustration of her needs for a spiritual water. She doesn't understand at first. Then she does. In John chapter 6, the Catholics come to this chapter and say, okay, you've got to eat Jesus literally, eat his flesh, literally drink his blood, or you're not saved. They've missed the point of John chapter 3. And remember, we studied. They make that water of John 3 baptism. They totally miss that. They're missing John chapter 4, the physical and the spiritual. And so they don't understand John chapter 6 as well, the physical and the spiritual. Now, as we go on in John 6, notice we ended in verse 34. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Well, what does Jesus say? Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have also seen me, and what? Believe not. It's by faith. You've seen me, and you still don't believe. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will what? In no wise cast out. Here's a whole other message here on salvation is eternal. It's not temporary. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should what? Lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I've taken people to verse 37 who believe they can lose their salvation and said, right here it says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And I've had him say multitude of times, well, he won't cast me out, but I can fall out on my own. Well, that contradicts verse 39 because Jesus said he's not going to lose anything. And if you can fall out on your own, then he's lost you. And the Bible says he can't lose anything. So that's false doctrine. Salvation cannot be lost because it depends totally on him. So, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and what? Believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus is talking, he's illustrating the bread from heaven as himself, and over he says, believe, believe, believe. But they continually reject it, and so verse 41, they reject what he says again. The Jews then what? Murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They're not accepting. Over and over, he ends his statement. This is a work of God that you believe on him whom God has sent. They don't accept it. They want a sign. He says again, you've got to believe. Those who come to me, I will never cast out. I will never lose them. You've got to believe on me. What do they do? Verse 41, they murmur. They're not accepting the doctrine he's teaching. So verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They're refusing to believe the doctrine that he is teaching to them. And so the Lord goes on, and let's jump down to verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that what? Believeth on me hath what? Everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He says it again. If you want to be saved, believe on me. Every time they reject. And so he continues on. Verse 49, your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are what? Dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not what? Die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall what? Live forever. It's just like John chapter 4. If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. It's spiritual. It's not physical. It's a physical illustration of the spiritual. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. His body he would give on that cross for us. But notice verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Every time he ends, they show they still don't understand. They're still taking it physically. So, he deals with it again. Remember, everything he's talked about, he's used physical illustration and made it clear that you're saved by belief. Now, this is part of the chapters where the Catholics stumble all over. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall what? Live forever." Listen, it's the same thing. He's given a physical illustration of a spiritual truth, but you know what? They still don't get it. Verse 59, "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Remember, a disciple is a follower. A lot of people followed Jesus that weren't necessarily true believers. They followed him. Just like people follow excitement today. Doesn't mean they necessarily believe all that they're hearing. Verse 61, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh," what? "Profiteth nothing." Here is the key to understanding this. "The words that I speak unto you, they are" what? "Spirit, and they are life." He spells it right out. Listen, it's just like with Nicodemus. "Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." Nicodemus, you ought to know what I'm saying is spiritual truth. Get your mind off physical food and physical birth. See these as an illustration of what you need spiritually. Verse 63, the key verse. "The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life." Verse 64, "But there are some of you that" what? "Believe not." That's always the key. Throughout this chapter, it's belief or unbelief. Signs are not going to help. Wonders are not going to help. It's belief or unbelief. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and" what? "Walk no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the" who? "The 12, will ye also go away?" How many people did he feed? 5,000. And now he's looking at how many? Verse 67? 12. The crowd has went from 5,000 to 12. It's a good thing Jesus didn't go into some faith promise building program. Amen. He would have been in a heap of trouble. From needing a building to seat 5,000, it's kind of hard for 12 to meet the payments, isn't it? "Then Jesus said unto the 12, 'Will ye also go away?' But notice what Peter says, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of" what? He understood. "Thou hast the words of eternal life." These words are spirit. And we, what's the third word of verse 69? Believe. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot. They didn't understand. So the Catholics will come to the latter part of this chapter to try to back up that eating the bread and the wine is actually what you need to receive Christ. And they come to this chapter. They are no different than Nicodemus in his unbelief. They are no different than the woman at the well and her unbelief. They're no different than these people, the 5,000 who walked away and only left 12. And, you know, there's just a terrible temptation in this day that, and it's like with all the soul winning, all the soul winning plans I've ever heard. There was one very well-known soul winner of years gone by. He's with the Lord now, but he was trying to liken this, what church you should choose. And he was saying, well, would you eat at a restaurant where there were only a few cars or with a restaurant that's packed? Well, compare that with John 6. Are you going to apply eating at a restaurant to your eternal soul? Are you going to go to a mega church like Joel Osteen's where he says the Mormon guy is okay? Hey, he says he believes in Jesus. What do you want me to say? Is that what you're going to do? That's where the crowd is. You think about Noah, God on that ark. He was one of only 8 people. So there's so much more we could talk about. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but let me just leave this with you, and we'll talk about this point next time, Lord willing. If Jesus was telling them they had to literally drink his blood, as the Catholic Church, and we'll look at this next time, the Catholic Church says that Mass is a re-sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of his body and blood. I've got the catechism numbers to prove it to you. That's what they believe. They believe when the priest blesses those elements, they actually turn into the body and blood of the Lord, and that you must partake of them, eat them. Well, that contradicts the Bible. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 11 not to drink blood. And they're saying you've got to literally drink his blood to be saved. Well, that contradicts Scripture, and we'll look into that more next time, Lord willing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to be a people of understanding. As we think of so many times you use physical illustrations, and so many times people just at first could not see the spiritual truth you were teaching. And Father, our hearts go out to the people in the Catholic Church who are so deceived. Lord, we understand from your word that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And Father, even as today we've talked about and talked to Jehovah's Witnesses, our hearts go out to them as souls for whom you died, lost in sin, deluded in false doctrine. Oh, Father, open their eyes. Rebuke the devil and his angels that they will not be allowed to steal the word out of their hearts. And Lord, I pray for these Catholic people. Oh, Lord, help us. There's so much confusion. So many well-known preachers call Catholics Christians. They are so deceived. Father, help us to know what we believe. Help us to know what these groups believe, that we might be able to refute their false doctrine and show them their error. They claim to believe in Jesus, but it's not the true Jesus. It's not the doctrine of Jesus, the true doctrine. Lord, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, please. And let's turn to 393. We need to dedicate our lives to getting out the truth, and we